This beautiful story about this prodigal son, I don't think it's a new one to those of us who have been to church for several years, because you must have heard it from some pastors or some other people. This story of son indicates the unconditional love of a father. God is our Father who loves us unconditionally. Like the prodigal son, we so often turn from our Father, and we too must come home through humble repentance. Repentance is a turning from sin and towards God. The topic of this sermon is the turning point. Everybody has a turning point in life. If you were a smoker, at some point you will decide to stop smoking. If you were drinking, at some point you would want to stop drinking. You were taking drugs or anything and so on, at some point, if you really want to help yourself, you will decide to stop. So, this story involves three people. And in fact, in some of the pages in the Bible, they say the youngest son, which means there might have been three or more sons. But in some pages of the Bible, they said the man had two sons. So, since there is no definitive number of sons in other pages of the Bible, I think we will stand by two sons. Since it is the second son that set the stage of this story, in the Jewish tradition, for a son to ask the father to give his own, say, wealth, it was considered more or less a tragedy. The father should not have listened to him because he was going to break the law or the custom. But since the father was also in love with the son, he agreed to what the son asked for. This youngest son represents all of those who have been called by God, and for whatever reason, after he had gone away for many months or years, we were not told, and spent all the money, spent all the wealth that he had. And then, since he had no job, no money, he decided to go to a wealthy person who had a farm, raising pigs. And this was another tragedy for the son, because in the Jewish tradition, the Jews have nothing to do with pigs. So, unfortunately for this son, he was in charge of feeding the pigs. And with money all gone, his wealth all gone, even though it is not pronounced in the Bible. In other settings, we have read that the son was eating some of the food that were fed to the pigs, because that was the only meal that he had had. After eating these meals meant for the pigs for many, let's say many months, he then remembered his father's wealth. His father had a big farm with people working on them. The people were well paid, well fed, and this was his turning point. He decided to go to his father and repent. All these years while he was away, if the father had a binoculars at that time, I think he must have been sitting and looking out whether he will one day see his son coming. And in fact, it is told that many times he will ask the servants whether that person coming was his son. And they will tell him, no, he wasn't. So one day, there was a surprise. He was actually sitting down watching every day, because he doesn't go to the farm. He's the owner of the farm. People are working on his farm. So he spent his time looking out to see whether the son will one day come. And indeed, one day his son came. And as you heard, the son was treated like an august visitor. Now, what happened to the first son? He would go out in the morning, work hard in the farms, and come home in the evening. So while he was coming home in the evening, he saw some signs that had not happened for years. People dancing, people were singing, people eating. And he was not happy with the father. The father talked to him, and he still wasn't convinced. So he was not happy. In the first instance, why did Jesus tell us this religious parable in the setting that it was? There were Jews there in that setting when he made this parable. Jesus told this parable to the religious and the Jewish crowd there to help them understand that salvation does not come by works, but by the grace of God. The reaction of the crowd was most likely extreme, upset and outraged, similar to that of the oldest son. Jesus was teaching against their tradition, and for that they would have been offended and astounded. The Jewish people would have disinherited the son or even stoned him to death, according to the tradition at that time. This son's behavior was highly insulting to the father as a matter of tradition. Jesus needed to tell this son to measure himself by the sins of the brother. This is an easy trap into which all the evil of the world is extended. The story of this prodigal son means so many things to us. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? This sentence, is it nothing to you, all you who pass by, I've been seeing this sentence for 15 years. Whenever I go to work from Patchogue to New York, there is a church on the right-hand side of the train going to New York. And there is a big church. I think it is called Grace Presbyterian Church. It's on the right-hand side. Immediately you leave Jamaica Station, getting ready to enter into the tunnel over to Manhattan. On that right-hand side, it is written on the wall where you can read from the train. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Behold and see. That is the full sentence or sentences that is written on that wall. I've been reading it for 15 years during the time that I go to Manhattan in the mornings. And it struck on me, what does this mean? As Christians, what would you do if you see someone in trouble? In fact, there is another program on TV. What would you do? I don't know how many of you watch TV. They make a setting. People will sit in a restaurant. A man will walk with his girlfriend. And the girlfriend is asked to do something in his drink while others are sitting. The man and the girl are members of the investigative group. They know what is going on, but they just want to know what the people who are sitting in the restaurant are going to do. So the man excuses the girl and goes to the bathroom, and the girl takes something from her bag, like powder, and put it in the man's drink. When the man comes back from the bathroom, everybody's watching whether he's going to drink. You see? And nobody wants to talk because everybody's afraid. But one person out of the group will go to tell the man, don't drink it because the girl has put something in your drink. You see? So, is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Behold and see. So what it tells us is that perhaps somebody should have told the prodigal son, look, you came from a rich family. Why do you stay here to feed the pigs? Why not go back to your father? And finally, the turning point came. Secondly, however, there is also an important secret that we have that we have to remember. It is that God is also waiting for us. Can you imagine this? God is the one who waits for us. It is true that we are not used to thinking this way. We always believe that we are the receivers of God giving. We believe that we are ones who wait to receive, and God is the one who gives the things that we need and want to. As we sometimes or many times become so egocentric, we only think about ourselves and focus on what we are going to receive, but not to give. We only wait many times for God's giving, but we don't realize about that God is waiting they receive something from us. In this story, the father of the son represents God because he was waiting for his son. Even though the son collected his share of what should belong to him, a father wouldn't like to see the son go away and get lost and he doesn't know anything that has happened to him. Every father will always think, what has happened to him? Is he dead? Is he in prison? What has happened to him? So there is no surprise that the father was happy to see the son. God is patient. God is waiting for us with patience. We have sinned to God, so God is waiting for us to repent. We have turned away from God, so God is waiting for us to come back. We have not practiced well Jesus' teachings in our lives, so God is waiting for us to live out with Jesus' teachings. We have not totally believed and trusted in Jesus Christ more than other things in our lives. So God is waiting for us to trust and realize that there is no bigger and more important than Jesus Christ. God is waiting for us. No more time. Why is waiting for us with patience? It is because God is good and God is faithful. God never abandoned us, even though we don't deserve it. Let me just run down and tell you a story about a king. This king was newly appointed a king by the state, or maybe he assumed the kingdom because of tradition. One day, as he lived inside of the castle, he decided to go outside and have an experience of how the nature on the outside is. Because as a young man and as a king, he wasn't allowed to go out. He was always confined in the palace. So one day he took some servants with him and went out. He went to the forest, woodland, with his servants, and he was enjoying being close to the animals, trees, and nature. When he was enjoying with these things, he suddenly saw a girl. She looked like a very poor and not healthy. As King felt compassion on her, he commanded his servants to help her. So the servants gave her food, nice things, beautiful clothes. They also took her to get a bath and so on and so forth. Several days later, the king decided to visit the house where the girl was kept. And when he went to her house and saw her, he was so surprised because she was so different than before. She was a very beautiful and attractive woman. After meeting her, the king said to her, "I will come back next year and I will give you a question. And if you give me a correct answer, I will choose you to be my wife." When she heard this, she was very excited, very happy. And she waited for the king 1 year with great expectation. After 1 year came back, the king went and asked her again, "Why do you think I have done all these things for you?" She replied with a strong confidence, "You have done all these things for me because I am so beautiful, very attractive, my majesty," she said. "However," said the king, "that is not the correct answer. I will come back next year. So I give you 1 year to think about it." Anyway, the story says the king went back the second year the third year, and I think it was the fourth that something happened. Let me go and tell you that series. The king asked her at the last visit, I think after 4 years, why do you think I have done all these things for you? When she heard his question, she started to cry. And she answered him, you have done these things for me because you are the good and you are mercy. And your love is huge. It is not about me, said the girl, but it is everything about you, the king. The king laughed, finally received her as a queen of his country. This means that God is waiting for us. God is waiting for you to repent and come to him. What is God expecting for us to do? God is waiting for us to repent. What is repentance? Changing of hearing, change of seeing, turning from one sin to change our ways. God is waiting for us to come back to God. God is waiting for us to turn away from our own sins, wills, and desires and obey the God's will. God is waiting for us to change our ways of thinking, ways of seeing, and ways of acting, for us to follow the God's way. We have heard many times about the story of the prodigal son. There were two sons. This story we can love. Our father, after his son left, the father waits for his son and prays for him to come back home every day. He never gives up his son, but he waits for him with love. God is waiting for us to come back to his house. Amen.